but I gagged and I couldn't do it. But at least I tried. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look if you would at verse number 1. The Bible says here, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Notice verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless your word this afternoon, I pray, in a special way. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, and amen. This message here involving God's people is a message that has to do with everybody in the body of Christ being in the ministry. And the reason I felt like the Lord led me to this particular text is because it typifies what we're going to be talking about here today. Every saved person in the body of Christ, don't miss this, is in the ministry. Every saved person in the body of Christ is in the ministry. The definition of ministry is to meet the needs of someone else, to give of oneself, to serve. And when you minister to somebody, what you're doing is you're taking care of them. All of these meanings of minister, both as a noun and a verb, contain a grade of the original Latin meaning a servant. A minister is a servant. Now, if you study your Bible, you'll quickly see that if once you're saved, you are given the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what we're trying to do, folks, is give people the gospel that will reconcile them back to their God. So today, and I want you to encourage you to use the notes. You can download them on the app. You'll have this outlined in here, and I'll go through it kind of quickly here this afternoon. But the first thing I want us to consider today, as we think about involving God's people, is the misconception of the ministry. The misconception of the ministry. Look at verse 1 in our text, if you would. The Bible says, therefore, seeing, what's the next word? What's the next word? We. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 1 again. Therefore, seeing, what's the next word? We. Not Paul just saying, hey, it's me, I got this, it's me, I've got this ministry, pray for me, I've got this work to do. No. We have received this, what's the next word? Ministry. And as we receive mercy, we faint not. Now, folks, listen here this afternoon. This is one of the most important points of the message. One of the greatest hindrances, I believe, to the local New Testament church has been the misconception that the pastors are the ministers and the members are the spectators. It's a misconception. It's matter of fact, it's contrary to the Bible. Look again at verse 1 in our text. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. So what's the key word in that verse? The key word is we. It's plural. Paul's addressing the church at Corinth. He says over there in 1 Corinthians 12:47, he says, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. What he's saying here is we have received this ministry. So the fact that churches have made this great distinction for decades, don't miss this, I believe has crippled the church. Let me give you an example, if I could. Let me ask you, how many of you, do we have a pastor in here? Just need somebody who pastored a local church. Yes, sir. Come on up, if you would, right over here. Yep. Thank you. And looks, I'm gonna embarrass Roger. Roger, come on up here, if you would. Come on up, guys. Go around over here all the way. I'm going to give you just one example. This might be a very base illustration, but I want you to see it visually so you can deal with and understand this misconception of the ministry. What's your first name? Russell. Nice to meet you. This is Roger. I know Roger because Roger's from our church here in the Seattle area. So he's a pastor, okay? He's a member of our church. Do you think that God looks at them any different? Do you think he loves them both equally? The misconception is that since he's a pastor and Christendom has done this for so long, he's a pastor, that he's way up here, and then Brother Roger, who's one of the best faithful members of our church, is down here. No, not God. Man looks at it like that. He's the pastor. Oh, he's the pastor. He's the pastor. And it isn't that you shouldn't respect the office of the pastor, absolutely. But you have to understand, biblically speaking, both of these gentlemen are in the ministry. So he's a doctor, he's a pastor. They both have ministry, right? And they both got called both of them to serve. He does it in a different way, and he does it in a different way. So the misconception is that the pastors, they're way up here, the members of local churches, which is majority of the people here, of the thousands, are just up here. Listen, all of us are called to serve. Amen? We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, he has a different job. I have a different job. We have a different part in the body of Christ. But they're both in the ministry. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated. Now, I love that he adds, if you look back to the text, he says, we've received this, and he even uses the term, ministry. Can I say to the dads out here today, the dads, the moms, the kids, you're in the ministry. You're in the ministry. You all, listen, moms' ministries are pretty busy and pretty important. He says at the very end of verse 1, he says, As I receive this ministry, he says, we faint not. If you're going to be in the ministry, you need mercy. Because as a result, you don't faint. But then notice number 2, if you would, the mandates of this ministry. Look at verse 2. For those just coming in, we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Notice the mandates for this ministry. He says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So now that we've established, if you're saved, you have received a ministry. So let me ask you a question this afternoon. How many of you are saved? Say amen. Okay, you've received a ministry. You're in the ministry. So now we talk about mandates. What's expected of you? So at our church, for example, we have 10 adult Sunday school classes. We've got hospitality ministry, as all you, security. You've got media, every ministry in the world you can imagine, right? Every single person that's going to serve in ministry at our church is going to get a job description that lets them know what's expected of them in the ministry. I think that's a fair thing to do. You don't just put somebody as a Sunday school teacher or a hostess or an usher or the media or the security or in the nursery. They get a job description. You know what God gave you and I? He gave us a job description of what he expects from us. And there's some mandates of that. Look again at what it is, the list of things. He says, we've renounced and hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Folks, listen. Those are some of the mandates that God wants you and I to have while we are in this ministry. What is expected of you? That's what he's giving us in verse number 2. God doesn't just give you a job and then not tell you what's expected of you. Notice in verse 2 again, notice what some of them are. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Folks, listen, if you're going to be in the ministry, you ought to live a life of integrity. You ought to be to the best of your ability, walk uprightly, have character. Reputation is important. Reputation is what men think you are, but character is what God knows you are. What you do in your private life when nobody else is around. Notice he also says, not walking in craftiness. You're an open book, providing things honest in the sight of God. And then lastly, he says, not handling the word of God deceitfully. For I'd say to any minister, don't make the Bible teach something that it does not teach. Don't ever handle the word of God deceitfully. Thirdly, would you notice the manifestation in this ministry? The manifestation in this ministry. Look, if you would, at verse number 2 again, he says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, again, notice the plurality of this, ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So what is it as ministers that we should be presenting? What is it that we should be manifesting? That word manifest means to be brought forth. So what you can see what the answer is, it's in verse number 2 towards the end. He says the manifestation of the truth. That is what we are supposed to give out while we're in this ministry. Plain and simple, can I say to the church today, the truth. Amen? That's what we're supposed to manifest. That's what we're supposed to bring out. That's what we're supposed to share. The truth. And if there's ever a day when people need truth, it is today. I've never seen a time with more disinformation and more confusion than we are in today. And people need nothing but the truth. And as ministers, we're to manifest the truth. We know that judgment is turned away backward. We know justice stands afar off. We know that equity cannot enter. We know that truth has fallen in the streets. But can I just say today, God's looking for somebody to take the truth and to hold it back up. That would be us, by the grace of God. So as ministers, we're to bear witness of the truth to every man's conscience. I want you to know, underline in your Bible or make a note of that. Manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, this is the part I want to focus on just briefly, to every man's conscience. It makes no difference who or when or where you present the truth, it's going to have an effect on every man's conscience. Why is that? Because the word of God can penetrate. Let me give an example. It doesn't matter if you're walking down the road and somebody says, you know, hey, how you doing today? You say, praise God, I'm doing great. Just by saying, praise God, I'm doing great, they just may be on a walk. But first of all, they might be at the dog park. And then you're saying, praise God. And you're walking by and they're thinking, praise God, praise God. You just manifested some truth and gave a seed and planted a seed or whatever you're doing. Sharing with somebody little teeny examples. When I worked in Costco for 12 years before I was in ministry, I used to go to the break room and I would just open up the Bible in the break room sometimes and say, does anybody have any questions about the Bible? A lot of times I got the break room to myself, but anyway, little things like that to every man's conscience. I'll tell you briefly, I remember a buddy of mine at church said to me one time, he says, hey, will you go fishing with me after you get done with your shift? I said, yeah, I can do that. I was really busy, but I said, look, I'll do it. So I remember going down to the docks. We just went down to the docks. I grabbed a pole that I hadn't used for a while, didn't change the line. We were salmon fishing on the docks. There's probably 80 guys lined up, all fishing for salmon. I get there, I'm running late. Hey, how you doing, Juan? I met the guy there. I threw a couple casts in the water, and I said to Juan, I said, you know what? We forgot to pray. So let's pray. I said, dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for this time of fellowship together. I pray you'll bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. And a guy looks at me, and, you know, fisherman, he looks at me and goes, yeah, you catch a fish after that prayer, I'm going to your church. So as sure as I'm standing here, it was, I think, 3, maybe 4 casts later, all of a sudden, you know, fish on, I'm fighting the fish. And by the way, when I get a fish, on. They'd probably hear me all the way back in the States because I get a little excited when I catch a fish. And so I'm fighting this fish. People are clearing out of the way. And I land this big, huge king salmon. I'm so excited. And the guy walks up to me and he says, could you write down the name and address of your church on the list? Came to church that Sunday, brought his wife. I would love to tell you that he was gloriously saved, but he heard the gospel, seeds planted. The irony of that story was I had a guy walking down the dock from the very end, and he said, I've been here all day. And that's the first fish I've seen come off this dock. You say, what's the point? Sometimes it's just the manifestation of the truth to every man's conscience. And how did that start? It just started with a little prayer when somebody heard it over there. But you know what it did? It pricked his conscience. God will use you no matter where you are as you bear witness of the truth to every man's conscience. We know the word of God is quick and it's very powerful. Years ago, I heard a story about a preacher who kept telling this man that he needed to be saved. He's a very successful businessman, and he was engaged in conversation with him, and he would talk to him about the Lord. And every time the man would ask the preacher a question, he would respond with this one verse: he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He'd ask him another question. He'd say, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And this kept going on and on and on and on. And finally the guy goes, don't you know anything else? And he got mad and he walked away. The businessman went to bed that night. 2:30 in the morning. All of a sudden he wakes up. The only thing he can think of is, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He got on his knees, trusted Christ as his Savior. Gloriously saved, came back to the preacher the next day, and he goes, I got it. He goes, what do you mean you got it? He goes, I've got the Son. What's the point? It's a manifestation of the truth to every man's conscience. He just kept giving him one verse, and the scripture's the power, the gospel's the power, and it arrested his mind because it bore to his conscience. And you know what? God can use you or me in that regard as well if we'll yield to him. Number four, notice, if you would, verse number three. This is a malefactor in this ministry, or a villain, or a bad guy. And I won't spend too much time on this point, but if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? Because the God of this world, in whom the God of this world, what's happened? He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. A malefactor is a villain or a bad guy. And we know who that is. It's the devil. Look at the verse there. It's small g, the God of this world. It's important to note in this ministry that we have been called to, we have an adversary. And what is the adversary trying to do? He is trying to hide the gospel. Some of you have been witnessing to your friends. Some of you have been witnessing to your neighbors. Some of you have been witnessing to your coworkers. Some of you have relatives you've been trying to get to come to church. And you know what's happening? Is the God of this world is blinding the minds of them which believe not. Why? So the light of the glorious gospel does not shine unto them, that they might be saved. It will blind them. It's easier sometimes to witness to a publican than a Pharisee for a reason. He blinds people through religion, and as we heard about from Dr. Getz last night, that the Laodicean time in which we live. I want you to notice, number five, the message of this ministry. This is probably my favorite point in this lesson here. The message of this ministry. Look at verse 5. Jump to verse number 5, if you would, 2 Corinthians 4. Notice it says this. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I just have to stop there and just say this. Just aren't you thankful that we don't preach ourselves? Can you imagine? I'm a wreck. Don't amen that. But I mean, I'm just so thankful that I'm not preaching Jason Scott Murphy. I'm preaching Christ. If I lift him up, he's going to draw all men unto him. The message of this ministry. We've already established that we've received this ministry, and a fair question to ask is, what is the message in this ministry? The answer is in the text. We're not to preach ourselves, but we're to preach Christ. We can preach Christ. What does the word preach mean? Well, the word preach means to proclaim. So I talked about at the beginning of the message a misconception. A misconception is, well, the pastors are up here and everybody else is down here. God doesn't look at it like that. You're all in the ministry. Preach means to proclaim, right? So everybody here is not just in the ministry. Everybody here is not just a minister, but everybody here is a preacher. Because you proclaim. You give the gospel. We're all ministering something. Let's make sure it's Christ. The greatest truth about this, again, is that the Bible says in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. God is making it clear it's not about us, it's about Him. The ministry you serve in is not about you. It's about Him. The message is Christ. And the power is the gospel. There's one other component of this message that we who are in the ministry are to apply. Look at the last part of verse number 5, if you would, please. The last part of verse 5. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Now remember, a minister is a servant. That was Paul's favorite description of himself. He said in Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated from the gospel of God, which he promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Paul's favorite description of himself was a servant. We are all servants. Some people have a hard time calling themselves a servant to anybody. But it was Jesus Christ that saved my soul. The least I could do is serve Him. Amen? As we close here, two more thoughts very quickly. I want you to notice the miracle in this ministry. The miracle of this ministry. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what is the miracle in this ministry? The first thing is that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We know in Genesis 1, verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. And when God said, let there be light, there was light. But can I just say this as a side note here, a parenthetical? Only God can do that. And we just marvel sometimes at that truth. Sometimes we just read it over, like you're reading the creation story, and it says, and He made the stars also. And we just keep reading. We have an amazing God. Well, to me, one of the best parts of this miracle is it's the same God that commanded light to shine out of darkness has now shined in your heart. And in my heart. If you're saved, you have the light of the world living inside of you. That's the case. We're to let that light shine. And if all the people, I think it was Dr. Sis that said it this week, that profess to know Christ would let it shine, we'd punch holes in the darkness. Praise God for the ministry. And then lastly, I want us to see the main goal of this ministry. We talk about involving God's people in ministry. Every single person here is in the ministry. We have the job description for the ministry we're in. We know what we're supposed to do. But what is, now that we've established, we are all in the ministry, what is the main goal? 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Would you read verse 7 with me? Let's read that together, and I want you to meditate on it as we close this lesson. Let's read verse 7 together. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. So since we've established we're in the ministry, we are reminded by God we have this treasure. That, and by the way, that treasure is Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we have it, we're in earthen vessels. In this body we groan, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. It's an earthen vessel. And that's kind of the great mystery, is that inside every child of God is this amazing treasure. If you're saved, inside of you is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. It's a treasure, but yet it's in an earthen vessel. Now, there's a reason for it. This is the main goal of this ministry that we've all been called to. The Bible says, for we know that this earthly house of this tabernacle we're dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So Christ is held in our earthen vessels. That is our flesh. The value is beyond measure. The question is, why? What was the purpose that God had to take this treasure and put it in an earthen vessel? Look at verse 7 at the very end. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What's the main goal of this ministry? It's so God gets the glory. It's the same reason that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He's chosen the base things of the world, the things that are despised, the things that are not, hath God chosen. And the reason he chose earthen vessels and the foolish things of this world is 1 Corinthians 1:29. It's very simple. The reason. So no flesh would glory in his presence. We would be like, he chose me. Praise the Lord. That's totally wrong, isn't it? We are dirty, rotten sinners saved by the grace of God. And the fact that he's allowed us to be in the ministry in any capacity is overwhelming. And we should be humbled by it. Paul said, I thank God that he put me in the ministry. So as we think about God's people being involved in ministry, I wanted to share a lesson with you today and just simply say, Paul makes it crystal clear. The Bible makes it crystal clear. It's replete with verses on the issue. We're all in the ministry. The question is, are we would say in America, derelict in our duty, or are we AWOL from our duty? And I would say to pastors, involving God's people in ministry is something that every pastor tries to do. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are what? As I close, I want to share this thought with you. You've heard a lot of messages this week. Many, many great sermons, lessons, and messages. But this is probably what's most important for all of us here. And that is this. What are we going to do with what we have heard? It's one thing to be a hearer of the word. It's another thing to be a what? A doer of the word. I preached a message at our church a few years ago, and I put a 5-gallon bucket over here, and I put a 5-gallon bucket over here, and then I took a sponge, and I put one in this one over here, and I took a sponge, and I put it in this one over here. And I gave the analogy of this, because we talk about involving God's people in ministry. This is where it's up to you in terms of what you're going to do with what you've heard and what you've got. But this is the misfortune. I know in America, one of the unfortunate things that take place is this. I use this analogy of the sponge and the bucket. This person over here, they hear message, Sunday school lesson, Sunday morning service, Sunday night, Thursday night, missions conference, Bible conference, special meetings, and they hear it. And every time they take it and they wring it out and they do something what they heard, and they're ready to hear another one. And they're ready to hear another one. They take what they've got in. You wring out that sponge. You wring it out. And they're ready to hear another one. But I said, there's another group over here. And they just keep hearing all the sermons and all the messages and all the challenges. And they've been implored and they've been rebuked and they've been exhorted. And he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and not without remedy. They've just heard it over and over and over again. But I never took that sponge. And I never pulled the sponge out. I just left it in. And I said, hey, I love all of you. But some of you are this sponge. All you're doing is taking in over and over and over and over and over and over. Can I say to the folks that are here today, do you know what happens when a sponge just sits in water if it's not been wringed out? Number one, it will stink. Number two, after a while, it's not a river, it's a reservoir, which just collects and collects and collects. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says this, knowledge puffeth up. Some of you've heard every single preacher, message, all of it, and you're just taking it all in. But none of it is going out. I'll say with all due respect here this afternoon, some of the most critical and unhappy Christians are the ones that take copious notes and they hear it all and they talk about doing this and they talk about doing that. And keep in mind, the Bible says the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the hand of the diligent is made fat. So it's one thing to have visions of grandeur, but it's another thing to action what you've heard. Can I say to the church as I close, do not be this sponge. Do not just take it all in and not do anything with it. Be this one over here where once you've heard it all, it's wrung out. And by the way, now you're ready to receive more because you've given something out. That's involving God's people serving. There is a labor shortage. I preach at our church that every single member ought to have a ministry in their local church, period. Period. Everybody ought to serve. I don't mean if you're 95 and you can only come to the prayer and pray, awesome, that's a ministry. If you can only clean the grounds or you can mow the yard or you can just do one shift in security or you can teach a Sunday school or be a cadet or write letters or hand out tracts, whatever it is, God forbid that God's people who are saved, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, that we don't do something, can I say, in our local New Testament church. Christ died for the church. God said to the pastors, always preach on it. You give what you go after. Try to involve God's people in ministry. And I'd say to the Christians that are here today, remember, we're in the ministry. But the question is, are we this sponge or are we this sponge? Are we doing something with what we already have? That's my challenge for you today. You've heard a lot. It's been excellent. It's been a blessing. But what are we going to do with what we heard? Let's ponder that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful conference. Thank you for Pastor Chapler and his vision, for the Naranja, the Folger, all the people behind the scenes, the staff. You don't look at any individual any different. All of us that are saved are in the ministry. Help us to take ownership for that and do exactly what you would have us to do in our local assemblies or as missionaries or as assistant pastors or as senior pastors or Sunday school teachers, or nursery workers, making sure that we are yielding our members as instruments of righteousness for your glory. We love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege to serve you. We give you the glory even now, for it's in your name we pray. And amen. Okay, I think it's lunchtime. And hey, we ended early. Can I get an amen? All right, thank you. Amen. First time the whole week. Amen.